Welcome to the Flame Podcast. We are thrilled to bring you the latest updates and highlights from the world of plain language. This year, Plain has presented three prestigious awards that have been celebrated at the Plain 2023 conference in Argentina this September. These awards recognize the remarkable contributions made in the field of plain language by individuals and organizations alike. I'm honored and extremely happy to have all the winners of the awards here today in our podcast. Welcome to Ginny Reddish, Christopher Bamford, and Monica Saraiva. And also a warm welcome to two of our board members, our chairman Joanna Richardson and member of our board Eloisa Fischer. And I am Lodewijk van Oort. Welcome to the podcast.
Joanna, before we start our conversations with the winners, why do we have these awards at Plain?
Plain is very proud to have two awards. One has been around for a good 15, 20 years, which is the Christine Mowat Award, which is the Lifetime Achievement in Plain Language Award. And more recently, in 2018, we started off with the Innovation in Plain Language Award, which is in the name of Cheryl Stevens, one of our co-founders, who I'm sure you're all familiar with. And one of the things about the Innovation Award is that it's actually sponsored by WordRake, which helps us bring the award winner to the venue and also pays for them for their travel expenses as well. So we're very pleased with this newish award. And then this year, and I'm not going to give all the information away immediately, we have a one-off award, Plain Language Above and Beyond. And I'm going to tell you about that a little bit later on. But Plain feels that, awards are a recognition of the work that these people have done with plain language, which is why we're so pleased to be able to give them out.
Thank you very much, Joanna. Let's take a closer look at the incredible individuals and organizations recognized this year. And let's start with the Christine Mowat Award. Who won it and why?
This award went to someone we already thought she had the award. It was one of the big surprises when we got the nominations. Everyone was like, but Ginny must have already got this award. I mean, Ginny is practically the mother of UX. And that's what everyone said. So we were absolutely delighted to be able to give Ginny Reddish this award for a lifetime achievement. I mean, you know, what Ginny has achieved in plain language would cover several lives of most people. And unfortunately, we now have Ginny here on the podcast. And I think she can tell us more about her work. But I cannot tell you how delighted Plain is to be able to give Ginny Reddish this recognition.
Ginny, congratulations, first of all. And I just want to know, what was your first reaction when you heard that you won the Plain Award?
I was deeply honored to receive this award. And I was trying desperately to figure out how I could go to the conference. Unfortunately, I'm now a generation older than almost everybody who is part of Plain, and my husband is not well, and so we can't travel anymore. We used to love to travel, and Buenos Aires would have definitely been in our bucket list. So I was very pleased that Annetta Cheek, who is a former winner of the Mowat Award, and is local with me here in the Washington, D.C., U.S. area, was willing to represent me at the award ceremony. And she brought the award back to me and with about a dozen other local people had a little ceremony right here.
Oh, wow.
In our area. So I'm very deeply honored, and I thank Plain very much for the award. And I hope perhaps in the future we'll be able to travel again and meet everybody in person at another plane meeting.
Just because of my curiosity, where's the award now?
The award is right here.
In so your working room.
Thank you all very much for it. I'm sitting at my desk in my home office, and it is right behind me on my credential.
Very close.
So, again, thank you.
I don't think there are much listeners who don't know you, but for that one listener that doesn't know you, who is Ginny Reddish? What's your work? What do you do?
Well, as Joanna said, I've been in the plain language business for a very long time. I'm a linguist by training. That's where my doctorate is. But I didn't become an academic because I married one and we didn't have two jobs possible in our generation. And so I became a consultant. And I was in the right place at the right time in the late 1970s under Jimmy Carter, when the government was really interested in plain language. And so that became my career, my field. And again, with a lot of other wonderful people in my generation, the generations before me, and the generations after me, I think we've really begun to spread the word and make plain language happen in many places.
And looking back on that big career you have, what is the one thing that makes you really, really proud?
I'm actually the author of the definition, the behavioral definition, yep, that not only the US, but the Plain Language Federation has adopted, that became part of the standard that Chris has been so actively involved in. The definition that says it depends on your audience, and what really matters is that people can find, understand, and use the information, and that we don't measure it by a readability formula. We measure it by actually finding out if people can use the document. And that's why Joanna said, I've been involved in UX, user experience. So plain language is only a major part. Plain language is a necessary part of the user experience. And I guess that's what I'm most proud of.
Yeah, Christopher, you immediately reacted on that definition. Why is that definition so important?
Well, there's about three things I want to say, Ludovic, but I'll answer your question first. The first is that people say, what is plain language? And before that, they would say, what is plain English? And we didn't have a coherent response to that. Being able to say, oh, you know, it's when documents are clear. What does that mean? And the word, the phrase plain language gets thrown around all sorts of ways. People say that ChatGPT produces documents that are in plain language, but, you know, they're not in plain language. They just kind of read okay. The sentences are a bit short. The language is a bit clear. But there's a lots of, you know, that's a whole nother topic. I won't launch into that, but perhaps one day we should do a podcast about that. So that's my specific answer to your question, that Ginny resolved that issue and came up with a definition which has stood the test of time, but also stood the test of going through two rigorous processes, one that Plain and Clarity and the Centre ran to ensure that the plain language world was comfortable with the definition, and there were a few tweaks to it along the way there. And then secondly, through the ISO process of producing the standard, that there was also another rigorous review. And as a result of that process, there are a few minor tweaks that are being considered by the Plain Language Federation, the International Plain Language Federation, and its members, Plain, Clarity, and the Centre. But they're only minor tweaks to something that the bones and the flesh and the structure of has really stood the test of time. But while I'm here, Ludovic, if I may, I'm just going to say two other things about Ginny. One is that in about 1992, I went off to the US to a plain language conference. I was very young, and a meeting was organised at the Document Design Centre that Ginny had just finished as chair of, and I think, Ginny, you'd been founding chair, I'm pretty sure. And I was thrilled, inspired, uplifted, a whole lot of words like that, to sit in the room with Ginny, who's some of whose book and articles I'd read. And it was clear to me that we were talking the same sorts of things. And I came away from that, as I said, thrilled. But also, if you told me that all these years later I'd be sitting on a podcast having been presented with an award with Dr. Ginny Reddish, honestly, I would have just said something like, yeah, nah, mate, you're dreaming, and walked off. So it's remarkable how the world turns.
Eloisa.
Yeah, I'd just like to add something, because we in Brazil, we are kind of toddlers. We are in the kindergarten of plain language. No, our country has just sort of joined the movement in the last few years. And it's really amazing. I was just thinking right now how Ginny's definition is really in everybody's mouth here in Brazil. Because we came a bit late to the game, we are in a situation right now that I think that this common understanding of what plain language is, you know, relevant information, you have to find it, you have to read it and understand it and know how to use it. It's amazing, you know, every meeting I go, every event, every presentation, when people define plain language in Brazil, they are quite, it's unanimous. Everyone speaks the same language. So it's really, yeah. I'm really kind of even emotional right now to be here with Ginny. Thank you so much for all your wonderful work.
It's true, Joanna. It's weird that she didn't win it earlier. That is really weird. You're hearing those stories. Monica, you want to say something?
Yes, just to add something. After Eloisa said about that everybody here in Brazil working with plain language talks about your definition, Ginny. It's an honor to be here with you, by the way. And the first thing that I learned about plain language was that at my very first day at IRIS, my colleague told me, you have to find the information, you know, to do. So every day when I am on a meeting or making a speech, doing a speech, giving a speech, or practicing plain language with someone, like teaching but not teaching, it's one of the first things that I tell the other person, the everybody who is learning, who is starting to know about plain language. So thank you so much for this accurate definition.
That's a lot of good words, Ginny. What's your response on that?
I just wanted to thank everybody for spreading the word and for being pleased to be here with me. I'm very pleased to be here with all of you. And I actually look forward to hearing more about your group in Brazil. Again, I'm sorry I was not able to be at the conference and hear it there. And yes, Chris and I go back a long way. So I'm very excited to hear more about Chris's award too.
Ginny, to conclude, with all your experience, what's the best advice you can give our listeners who are working in plain language? Maybe people who just started working in plain language.
Well, I guess I would have a few pieces of advice. One is celebrate the wins, even the very small ones, because it takes a long time. And I can remember telling people who would look at something that we had done at the Document Design Center, which Chris mentioned, and I'll say, oh, I could make that plainer. But they had never seen the original that we had taken and moved this far. And that's all we could get at that point, because clients and other people involved have to be persuaded that this is better. And of course, yes, we could then take it from here and move it even further. So my first piece of advice is celebrate all the wins, even the small one. My second piece of advice is the UX part. And it's what Chris was saying a little while ago, that plain language, whether it's plain English or plain French or plain Portuguese, plain Brazilian Portuguese, plain Spanish, plain Argentinian Spanish, is not only about the actual writing. It's about having the right content for the users. It's about organizing it so people can find that information. And so making sure that you build into your projects the possibility of doing usability testing, that is, finding out if the real people who have to use it can use it, and not relying on some computer generated number to believe that you have successful. So those would be my two major pieces of advice.
Ginny, thank you so much. And again, congratulations with your award. We have two more winners here in the podcast. So let's go on with the next one. And Eloisa, the next award is the Cheryl Stevens Plain Language Innovation Award. Who won the award and why?
Yeah, the winner of the innovation, Cheryl Stevens Innovation Award this year was Iris Lab. Here in Brazil, we pronounce it in Brazilian Portuguese, we pronounce it Iris Lab. But Iris Lab is the international name of the lab.
It's actually in Italy here and in Holland, we would say Iris Lab too. So,
oh, really?
Okay. Maybe it's just the English speaking persons who are really weird.
and as the award acknowledges those who have made significant contributions to the plain language community, it is really amazing that we could have a Brazilian winner this year. Iris Lab, or Iris Lab, has set a really remarkable standard for implementing plain language projects in Brazil, promoting clear public information, building partnerships to support plain language, inspiring thousands, tens of thousands of civil servants in Brazil. Their work is really inspiring. I wouldn't miss the point if I said that Iris Lab is really a game changer. Was and is a game changer for plain language in Brazil. They have been doing an amazing job in only 3 years. They were founded in 2020.
Amazing.
And, you know, 3 years later, what they have really accomplished is really amazing. So all the Brazilian plain language community is very proud to be represented by the staff of Iris Lab.
And Monica, welcome and congratulations with your award. Let's start with the same question I asked Ginny. What was your first reaction when you heard the award was for you?
Well, at first we couldn't believe it because, well, we are babies in plain language. By the end of this month, we are going to be four. So you're baby, real babies. But we were so honored and, well, speechless because we really couldn't believe it. We knew that, well, we have an idea that Iris Lab reached a lot of people here in Brazil, public service especially, but we had no idea that, well, plain was going to, you know, we don't have the real dimension of how many people we reach with our work every day. So we were really speechless. I would say that it was the first reaction, but of course, very honored and very happy. And yeah, we were like, maybe it's a joke.
You had the award. It's in the office, I think, somewhere.
It is. It's right here in front of me.
Just for the people who are not from Brazil, what does Iris Lab do? What's what's your organization about?
Well, Iris Lab, it's a data and innovation lab from Ceará State in Brazil, northeast of Brazil. And we do a lot of things here related to innovation, but we work on plain language area, we work on design area and UX and redesign of the public pages, especially the websites. New methods of approach, not only in plain language, but we also, if there is something write on it, we always ask to the plain language staff review it. So we also we develop softwares, but not only, and well, things like that, digital transformation. Yes,
and that's for an organization that exists for 4 years. It's amazing to hear what you're all doing, Eloisa.
Yeah, I'd just like to stress something because since the like of inception, since the very beginning of Iris Lab, they had a plain language project associated in the scope of the lab. And this was also a game changer in Brazil because after Iris Lab, all other innovation labs in the public sector, because they're really big in Brazil, all the other ones began including plain language in their scope of work. So that's really amazing.
That's really amazing. Monica?
Iris Lab was born, and the next day there was already the idea to have the plain language area to work on it. It was the first thing that we did over here.
And what does Iris mean?
Oh, is that...
Oh, it is really the iris.
It is.
Oh,
the
really?
Iris, yeah. Yes.
It's the iris in your eye,
it's
yeah.
Just to remind you of the way, a new way to see and change the things.
Great. Christopher.
Thank you, Ludovic. I just wanted to say I absolutely love the idea of every innovation lab having a plain language component or team inside it. It's often seemed to me that those enormous consulting groups like McKinsey's and Boston Consulting Group and Accenture and all of the others, they come into organizations, they go all over them, they spend months and months looking at and reviewing the organizations, and they come out with a great big report. And it seems to me that somewhere in the report, they should just have three lines that says something like, by the way, your documents are completely ridiculous and should be rewritten in plain language, because, you know, that's a universal truth. nearly every organization has nearly every document, except some of their marketing documents that they pay a lot of people to work very hard on, to copywriters, because only they really care about their marketing documents. But all the documents that actually matter to the readers, the insurance policy and the how to make my thing work and the instructions and everything else, they don't care about them. So these consulting groups should be taking a leaf from Breville's innovation laboratories or organizations and just building it in every time.
Yes, Ginny.
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate the lab. I think it's amazing that something that started only a few years ago is doing so much and such wonderful work. I'm curious about who your major clients are. Who are you training? Is it more government? Is it more business people? Is it both? I'm just really curious at how you're spreading this in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jeannie. It's the government, the state especially, but the cities, government, and also the federal government, and only the government. So we just, they reach out, Iris, and we work together to do a lot of things.
That's wonderful. And that's how we started in the US also, because the Document Design Center that Christopher mentioned, started out of what was called the Document Design Project, which was government funded and whose mission was to help the government agents, particularly the federal government, but it then spread in the US, it spread from the feds to the states, although some states had done a little bit. New York had a plain language project earlier, but now it's in the states and the federal government. So I think that's absolutely wonderful. The other thing that the Document Design Project, the federally funded project that started this in the US, did was to also fund changes in education, particularly at the university level, to train more people to go out and be the plain language people. So I wonder if in that, I don't know the state of university in Brazil, maybe you already are doing wonderful work in training people to, particularly lawyers, to write in plain language.
Maybe Eloisa can say something about that.
Yeah, the plain language movement in Brazil is quite widespread among the lawyers, but actually in the kind of innovation side of the law here, it's really big. Coupled with legal design, because legal design is really recommended by the National Council of Justice. And a few weeks ago, we had this big milestone in the judiciary here in Brazil, because the National Council of Justice just issued a recommendation that all courts in Brazil should use plain language in their communication.
Bravo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, things are working fast. I just like to add some context to the state of Ceará, because the state of, just so our listeners know, that the state of Ceará in Brazil, Brazil has 27 states, and Ceará has a population of 9 million people, isn't it?
Yes,
Monica.
It's yeah. Around nine. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So they have big impact in the life of 9 million people.
Just one more question to you, Monica, because you said you're just a baby of 4 years old. It's quite a big baby. But if you have just let's have a small look at the future. What's your hope for the future?
Well, I hope plain language keeps spreading and the movement reaches everybody all over the world. Because I didn't know, 2 years ago, I didn't know any, I didn't have listened anything about plain language. So, and like me, there are millions of people mm-hmm. in the world. And it's so important. It changed my life, like personally. And I see it can change. I literally can see, because of the work we do over here in the public service, I can see how it can change and affects our citizens. So it improves. It's good for the government. It's good for the private sector, and it's good for especially the citizens, because they, when they understand what we are telling them to do or anything, they can solve their problems, for example. And so I just hope like everybody understands and starts to use plain language in day-to-day life. So I guess that's it.
Great. Thank you very much. And again, congratulations. As Joanna already said, this award was sponsored by WordRake. Let's listen to what their company offers.
The team at WordRake Editing Software congratulates Iris Lab on winning the Cheryl Stevens Innovation Award. We applaud everyone on the Iris Lab team who worked so hard on the organization's Portuguese plain language program. At WordRig, we believe that clear and effective communication should be within reach for every writer in every field. And it should be the standard we strive toward for every reader. So it just makes sense that we'd sponsor the 2023 Cheryl Stevens Innovation Award given by the Plain Language Association International. WordRig editing software, with its innovative simplicity mode, is designed to help writers comply with plain language mandates effortlessly. With a few clicks, it detects jargon and legalese, unnecessary modifiers, pointless introductions, nominalizations, redundancies, and more. Then it transforms complex text into clear and concise language using over 35,000 patented algorithms. Try WordRake today. Learn more at wordrake.com.
So, Joanna, this year there was an extra award. You already told a little bit about it. Tell me all about it now, please.
Yes, this award is actually not just a plain award. As most of our listeners are aware, Plain's sister organization internationally is Clarity. And there's another very important plain language in NGO that works in the US, the Center for Plain Language, in North America, sorry, not the US. And so Clarity, the president is Julie Clement, and the Center for Plain Language, the president is Barbara Kingsley. So we got together and we're looking at creating an award which we felt would cover would be in recognition of the three plain language organizations for work that we called Above and Beyond. And so that's the name of this award. And we're very proud, very honored to be able to give Christopher Barnford this award in person at the ceremony in Buenos Aires. And it was the strong feeling of these three organizations that Christopher Barnford had put a huge amount of not just institutional, but also personal effort into moving forward the approval and the publishing of the ISO standard. And that we wanted to recognize his work in that.
Congratulations, Christopher. Thank very special Ludwig. Award, the first time this award was ever given to someone in this world. And it went to you, Christopher. What was your reaction?
It's funny, Ludovic. Someone was not said they were going to nominate me for one of the other awards, and would I mind running my eye over the form that sort of set out the nomination? So I sort of had a thought that I might be going to win an award, and that was lovely. But and Joanne has already emphasized it, but the fact that the award came from the three organizations, each of which I know and love and each in which I've been involved in many ways over the years, was really moving. Joanna sent me an email about it. I went and gave my wife, my wonderful wife, Miss Kim, a really big hug. But there was another aspect of it which chokes me up a little bit, which was when it was actually announced, in the wording announcing it, it used an adjective, and it said, "My gracious leadership." It's so hard for me to say it out loud. It really is my gracious leadership, and I was really, really moved by that word "gracious," because the ISO project is, you know, there's a whole bunch of people. There's like 30, 35 people from 20 countries, and we have meetings at what for me are 11:30 at night, and they go for 2 hours. And we hadn't, although people involved in the plain language world had met at conferences beforehand, there were people in the ISO world and people who joined the project who hadn't. So the fact that those three organizations combined to use that adjective about the way I'd conducted those meetings and everything left me, and it's a very rare thing for me, almost speechless.
Almost speechless. Almost. But it was worth it. Ginny, your definition is in that ISO standard. If you look at that work Christopher did, what was your first reaction on the work he did?
I think it is fantastic. It was really Chris's idea. Chris, I'm not remembering exactly which meeting you first announced that the three organizations were going to get together and do this, but it was from Chris. And to be honest, because I'm very familiar with some other ISO standards, I really was a bit skeptical about whether or not ISO would ever agree to an internet.
I was skeptical too, Jenny.
On plain language, but you made it happen. And I think it is fantastic. I also think it's really wonderful that the three organizations were able to come together to do this. I, with Annetta and several other people, started the Center for Plain Language as a advocacy. Well, we're not permitted to say that because we're a nonprofit organization, as an educational organization to spread plain language in the U.S. Because, as I said earlier, the earlier efforts were very government focused, and we needed a non-government group to go further with this. With Chris, plain existed long before the center did. And Clarity also. Clarity, I'm sorry I missed Clarity's 40th anniversary party at the...
That was good fun.
in Buenos Aires. But Chris, you not only made it happen, but you made it happen based on what I hope we all agree is the right way to think about plain language, so that the standard today actually has four principles, which are basically, do you have the right content for the audience that you're talking about? Can they find it? Can they understand it? Can they use it? And I really think that is a fantastic achievement. And I congratulate you not only on the award, which is well-deserved, but on actually accomplishing the mission you set out to accomplish.
I was there at the awards ceremony, and I saw... you were really moved. You were really emotional. What is it that makes plain language so important for you personally?
I would summarize that, Ludovic, by saying that it enables people to make informed, confident decisions about whatever they need to make those decisions about their health, their families, their business, how to run their government department, their lives, absolutely everything. And if us humans made better decisions, and to make the best decisions, we need to be able to make informed decisions, and we need to be able to make them confidently and then go and implement them, that the world would be so much a better place. So that's my sort of underlying motivation. I rewrite documents, mainly legal documents, in plain language so that people can understand them and make informed, confident decisions about everything. So that's where that's the sort of base or the foundation of my approach to it all. It's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Maybe that's the way to phrase it.
It's kind of what drives you all three. Jim told that. Monica was already talking about that. Plain is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. What is your hope for the Plain future?
The Federation, the International Plain Language Federation that Plain is a member of, and the other ones are Clarity and the Centre, and they came together in way back in 2007 and said, I was president of Clarity at the time, and said, should we try and do things together in the plain language world? Like, we could agree on a definition, we could maybe do a standard and some various other things, and wrote a options paper that was published in 2010. And that, in Clarity 64, the Clarity Journal, if you want to read it, it's a very good document. And that shaped what we, the plain language world, would set out to try and do between now and then. And it's got some things like more advocacy and more research and certifying documents and organizations that they're in plain language, or they can produce plain language documents. And that work will continue, but it's really also really exciting for me that the Federation and its three members are now, and I'm on the Federation's board, are now pausing and having a think about, well, if we were to write an options paper for the next however many years, what would we say? What projects would we focus on? How much have we done of the things that we set out to do? Of the things that we haven't done, do we need to do them? Should we do more of them? And that process to me is incredibly exciting. And I would say to anyone listening to this podcast that, go along to the, go to the conferences, participate in the discussions. When Clarity or Plain or the Center or the International Information for the International Institute for Information Design, which is an organization that's close friends of these three organizations, when they talk and they're calling for volunteers, step up and be involved. The people involved are great. The work's really interesting. You help shape the world, the plain language world, and everything that you do, and I'm going to go back to where we started, is helping people make informed, confident decisions, and it's worth it.
Thank you. I think we can't end this podcast in a better way with you saying this, but we need to end it with a big applause, I think, for all the winners. So we're just the three of us. We were in Buenos Aires. We know a lot of people did a big applause for you, but here, our applause.
Thank you.
I'll edit some nice applause on it. Thousands of people yelling. Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening. We will be back soon, and in the meantime, check all our activities on our website, plainlanguagenetwork.org.
At WordRate, we believe that clear and effective communication should be within reach for every writer in every field. WordRate editing software is designed to help writers comply with plain language mandates effortlessly. With a few clicks, it detects jargon and legalese, unnecessary modifiers, pointless introductions, nominalizations, redundant phrases, and more. Then it transforms complex text into clear and concise language using over 35,000 patented algorithms. Try WordRate today. Learn more at wordrake.com.